Amen. Truly, this is our Father's world. God bless you, ladies. Thank you for sharing with us this morning. If you have your Bibles this morning, let me invite you to find John chapter 10 and verse 22. John chapter 10, verse 22. I want to share what I hope is a very encouraging message for you this morning, entitled Safe and Secure from All Alarm. Safe and Secure from All Alarm. John chapter 10 is a chapter in which Jesus employs the use of an allegory. It is a story that has a broader meaning beyond the immediate context. It is an allegory of a shepherd and his sheep. And we have come to understand in the recent days who the shepherd is, that is the Lord Jesus, and who the sheep are, and that is us. And so we have been learning about the shepherd and his sheep in our study of John's Gospel and specifically chapter 10. Today we're going to finish John chapter 10. And the next time that we are together in John's Gospel, we will be looking at John chapter 11 when Jesus brings Lazarus back to life. But this morning, John chapter 10, I want us to read verses 22 through 42. If you have found that and you are able, would you stand this morning in honor of God's word, following along as I read John 10, verses 22 through 42. Now it was the feast of dedication in Jerusalem, and it was winter. And Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. And Jesus answered them, "Many good works I've shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God." Jesus answered them, "Is it not written in your law, 'I said, you are gods'? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, 'You are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God'? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hands. And he went away again beyond the Jordan to the place where John was baptizing at first, and there he stayed. Then many came to him and said, "John performed no sign, but all the things that John spoke about this man were true." And many believed in him there. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you that it cannot be broken, for it is inerrant and infallible, it is trustworthy, and it is our authority. And so, Lord, use your word and your spirit today in molding and shaping us more into the image of Christ. For those who are in the room this morning, Lord, who are lost, please convict them of their lostness and draw them unto you, giving them faith to believe. Father, convict us of sin, mold us and shape us in righteousness. Lord, we're grateful and thankful for the opportunity to gather around your word. We love you, and we're thankful for your love for us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. God bless you, and you may be seated. This morning, as we finish John chapter 10, thinking about safe and secure from all alarm, our text presents us this morning three proofs that I believe will cover everyone in the room in some form or fashion. Notice beginning in verse 22 that we see the proof of Jesus' deity. The proof of Jesus' deity, or in other words, the proof that in fact Jesus is God. Verse 22 starts now. Commentators tell us, and then we'll also see this from what we will read here in verses 22 and 23, that there's probably a 3-month time gap between verse 21 and verse 22. And we know that because of this feast that is mentioned there in verse 22, the Feast of Dedication in Jerusalem. Wasn't one of the main 3 feasts of Judaism, but it was a time of celebration. It was a feast to remember and to celebrate the rededication of the temple under Judas Maccabeus. And it was an opportunity for Israelites and Jews to be in Jerusalem. But notice the end of verse 22. And it was winter. Well, the Feast of Dedication taking place in winter was much different than the Feast of the Tabernacles at the beginning of John chapter 10 that took place at the end of the spring and then also in the summer. And so there's probably a 3-month gap there between John 10:21 and John 10:22, but now we're in the winter months. And it says in verse 23 that Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. And he was there to protect him from the cold weather and for the rain. But he wasn't protected from his enemies. Notice verse 24. Then the Jews surrounded him and said to him, "How long do you keep us in doubt? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And then notice his answer in verse 25. And there are 2 proofs of Jesus' deity. Number 1, Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you did not believe." His words, the words of Jesus, prove his deity. Now, what words are we talking about? Well, as I have shared with you time and time again in our study of John's Gospel, John's Gospel is built around 7 I am statements. And we have heard several of them so far. We've heard Jesus say, "I am the bread of life." We've heard Jesus say, "I am the light of the world." We've heard Jesus say, "I am the gate of the sheep." And we've heard Jesus say, "I am the good shepherd." Well, there are 3 more times in John's Gospel that we're going to note these I am statements. But because we know the name of God in the Old Testament, and because we have a little bit of an understanding of the language of the New Testament, when Jesus says, "I am the bread of life," he is saying, "I am God." And when he says, "I am the light of the world," he's saying, "I am God." And when he says, "I am the gate for the sheep," or "I am the good shepherd," and certainly we're familiar with his words in the coming weeks and chapters of John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so Jesus has already proven that in fact he is God, he is the Christ, because of his words. But he gives us a second proof there in verse 25. I told you and you do not believe. Notice the second proof. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me. So, we have Jesus' words, and we also have Jesus' works. Well, what works? Well, in the same way that the Gospel of John is built around seven I am statements, the Gospel of John is built around seven miraculous signs. And we've seen those in the recent weeks. Do you remember when Jesus turned water into wine? That was the first sign. And then Jesus healed the nobleman's son from a distance. That was the second sign. And then Jesus healed the paralytic who had been a paralytic for 38 years. And then the fourth sign, Jesus fed the multitudes. At least 5,000, perhaps double or triple that. The fifth sign, Jesus walked on water. The sixth sign, Jesus healed a man born blind. And then the next time we come to John's gospel, after today, John chapter 11, the seventh miraculous sign. Jesus is going to raise Lazarus from the dead, foreshadowing what would happen to Jesus himself, that God would raise him from the dead. And so Jesus has already, for the Jews, given them the proof that they should have heeded in his words and in his works. The proof of Jesus's deity. But let me show you a second proof, and it begins in verse 26. The proof of the believer's security. The proof of the believer's security. Now, if you don't hear anything else I say this morning, if you are a follower of Christ, I hope and pray that you tune in for these next few moments, because this, brothers and sisters, is an incredibly encouraging truth from God's word. Verse 26, Jesus talking to the Jews who are questioning him, but you do not believe because you are not of my sheep, as I said to you. So they are not followers of Christ. They are not believers in the Lord Jesus. But notice in verse 27, he begins to talk about his sheep. You're not of my sheep. But, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. The proof, the first proof of the believer's security is our intimacy with the shepherd. Our intimacy, the sheep's intimacy with the shepherd. Look there at verse 27 again. My sheep hear my voice. So Jesus is saying, my followers hear my voice, and I know them. Brothers and sisters, can you say that this morning about yourself, that Jesus knows you? That he knows you. He has a personal, saving relationship with you. And then don't miss out this. The end of verse 27. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. And they follow me. Is that true of you? Is that an encouraging word to you? Well, Brother Richard, I really don't hear Jesus' voice, and I'm not sure that he knows me, and my life really isn't about following him. Well, you may not be one of his sheep, but you can be today. Jesus says, our intimacy with the shepherd. By the way, this is an external proof. This is a proof that the watching world can see. The watching world can have proof that you are a follower of Christ by seeing your intimacy with the shepherd. And if the watching world can't see your intimacy with the shepherd, you may not have a relationship with the shepherd. But there's a second proof here. The second proof of the believer's security is the authority of the Trinity. The authority of the Trinity. Look at verse 28. Jesus says, and I give them, my sheep, eternal life. And if you write in your Bible, mark in your Bible, highlight in your Bible, here's a good verse to highlight. And they shall never, and you don't see this in our English translations, but in the language of the New Testament, the language speaks, and they shall never, ever, 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 ever perish. Neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. And so Jesus, talking about himself, says that my sheep, followers of Christ, will never perish. Now we know he's talking spiritually, because we know that followers of Christ die physically. But followers of Christ will never die spiritually. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. But then look at verses 29. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And then he repeats himself almost. He says, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. So verse 28 says, no one shall snatch them out of my hand. Verse 29, no one shall snatch them out of my Father's hand. Well, how can both of those be true? Verse 30, I and the Father are one. They're not the same person, but they have the same purpose. And one of their primary purposes is to secure their sheep. I want you to think about the scenario that many of you have been in, either as parents or as children. Perhaps you are in a busy parking lot, or you are at a busy intersection, and you are making your way to your car or from your car to the store. And parents, fathers or mothers, particularly at younger ages, walk holding the hand of their child. And that child may lose focus and may get distracted, and off she wants to go or off he wants to go. But not so fast. And certainly not if danger is approaching and the mom or the dad holds on to the hand of that little boy and that little girl and says, no one will snatch them from my hand. No one will cause harm or evil to my child. And that's the picture that you have here, that God the Father and Jesus the Son are holding tightly to the arms of those believers. And that is the ultimate proof of our security as believers. And so this text, it speaks of a proof of Jesus' deity and a proof of the believer's security, but then it also speaks of the proof of the lost person's futility. Verse 31, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. They did not like what they were hearing. And Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? Why are you so mad? Why are you so angry? Why are you wanting to take my life? Here's their response, verse 33. For a good work, we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. And so if you're looking for a definition of blasphemy, well, there it is in verse 33. When men make themselves out to be God. Well, Jesus had a question for them. He questioned their logic. And I want you to turn over to Psalm 82. Your Bible may have a note here in John 10 and verse 34, referencing Psalm 82. But here's what Jesus said in John 10, 34. Is it not written in your law, I said you are gods? Well, let's look over at Psalm 82 and let's understand what Jesus is talking about. So Psalm 82, God is speaking to Jewish judges, Israelite judges. We're talking about human beings here, similar to our judges of today, who administer, judge between good and bad, whether you've broken the law or haven't broken a law. But in Psalm 82, verse 6 says, I said, you are gods, and all of you are children of the Most High. So God, the Father, is talking about these Jewish judges, and he references them as gods. But notice the little g. Okay, that's real important. He references them as gods because of their judging capacity. Okay, now go back to John 10. Is it not written in your law, verse 34, I said, you are gods? Well, that's true. It is written in the law. We just read it in Psalm 82, 6. If God the Father, verse 35, called them, the Jewish judges, if God the Father called them gods to whom the Word of God came and the Scripture cannot be broken, or in other words, and we know the Scriptures are true, verse 36, do you say of Him, Jesus, whom the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said I am the Son of God? You see, the first proof of the unbeliever's futility is their rejection of God's word. Their rejection of God's word. Jesus is making an argument from the lesser to the greater. And he says, God's word calls these men gods, little g. Surely it's okay that I, having been sanctified by the Father and sent by the Father, surely it's okay if I claim that I am the Son of God. They said no. That's not okay. They rejected the word of God. But ultimately, they ignored the works of God. Verse 37, if I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know, and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. And then notice verse 39. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hand. The unbelievers' futility. They rejected God's word. They rejected God's work. And ultimately, at the end of their lives, unless they repent, God will not have a home for them in heaven. And so I wonder this morning, brothers and sisters, ladies and gentlemen, what is your need this morning? Do you have a need to understand that in fact Jesus is God? If so, I would encourage you to consider his words and consider his works and the proof that in fact he is God. Maybe you are a believer this morning and you are questioning your security. Well, tell me about your intimacy with the shepherd. Tell me about if you know the shepherd, and does the shepherd know you, and are you following him? And if so, obedience is a tremendous proof of your security as a believer. But ultimately, your security as a believer rests in the character of God. The character of God, when God the Father and God the Son completely united. And Jesus says, you won't snatch them out of my hand, and you won't snatch them out of my Father's hand. And so are you this morning safe and secure from all alarm? And if you're an unbeliever today, and you know that you're an unbeliever, the future is futile for you unless you repent. Unless you turn from your sin and from yourself and turn to Jesus. And I want to invite you to do that this morning. In just a few moments after I finish praying, I'm going to invite you to stand. And Brother Floyd will be leading us as we sing a very familiar song. And I'll be here at the front. I'd love to welcome you today and celebrate with you. If you would put your faith and trust in Christ for the very first time. If you're a guest this morning and God is leading you to formally and officially unite with Emory Baptist Church, we'd love to welcome you this morning as a new church member. Maybe you simply need to come this morning to pray on bended knee. Our invitation will be for you. But are you today safe and secure from all alarm? I hope and pray that God's word has been an encouragement to you this morning. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes with me? Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for this allegory of the shepherd and his sheep. Father, thank you that your word tells us that no one can snatch us from Jesus' hand, and no one can snatch us from your hand. We bless your Son, Jesus, as God the Son. And I pray, Father, that your Spirit is even at work now, convicting of lostness those in the room, drawing them to Jesus, and to live lives of intimacy with the shepherd. Father, we want you to have your way and invite you to have your way this morning during our invitation. And we ask and pray this in Jesus' name. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet as Brother Floyd comes to lead us? I'm going to invite you to respond publicly on our very first stanza this morning.